Our scripture for today comes from the book of Psalms, 139th Psalm, verses 1 through 18. You may find it on page 608 in your pew Bibles, or you may just listen. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? As I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, and when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Thank you.
to invite the young people to join me up front, if you like. Not kids anymore. Emma taught us that last week. Yep, that's right. If you'd like to, anything for that? Oh, thank you so much. Hey, over there. Yeah, he'll get the most out of this from anybody. He's going to look at Jeanette all the whole time and not worry about us. Hi there. Hi. So, especially now that we're young people and not kids anymore, I have kind of a complicated thing I've been thinking about this morning a little bit. I love that scripture that Miss Jeanette read. It's such a beautiful kind of meditative psalm. That really touches me. Between Jeanette reading that and Matt's beautiful music, Rick, you and I could just keep our mouths shut the rest of the morning and everybody would be all right. One of the things I've been thinking about is the difference between the word because and the word despite. Maybe if you'll help me understand it a little bit, can you give me a food that you really like? Spaghetti. Oh, I love spaghetti. And what about one you don't like? Broccoli. Oh, I love broccoli, but that's okay. We'll use broccoli. So spaghetti we do like, broccoli we don't like. So one of the differences between because and despite would be maybe I loved dinner because we had broccoli. Or because we had spaghetti. I loved dinner because we had spaghetti. Despite might be I loved dinner despite the broccoli. So the difference between because and despite. And one of the reasons that I've been thinking about that a lot is because a lot of times churches like us talk about outsiders, people who are on the outside. I feel like I'm on the outside sometimes, and that could be on the outside of a group of popular people, on the outside of power, on the outside of institutions, like being on the outside of a church or on the outside of feeling like you don't have a voice in government. And so we come up with a list of people that are sometimes on the outside, people that because they are of a certain race or origin, because they are women or because they're lesbian or gay, because they are differently abled. And sometimes we say that we're all welcome despite all of those things. And what I think is a better way to think about it is that we are all welcome because of those things. When you have a second to look at the bulletin, our bulletin has our statement of beliefs on the front of it, the statement that the church has come up with. And you'll notice in the second sentence, it talks about how we welcome in worship and service all of God's children of any race, origin, gender identity, and it goes on to kind of list a group of people that are often on the outside, that are often excluded from the club of the world. And we very purposefully don't use the word despite. And a lot of times you'll see that word in there, that we welcome people in worship despite gender and despite all those different things. We don't use that word. We welcome those people because they are different, because we think that God teaches us that being different is a beautiful, good gift of diversity. And the reason I'm thinking about that this week is because that scripture that Miss Jeanette read, it talks about how intimately God knows us. It talks about there's no place we can go that God's not with us. That from the very moment we were starting to be stitched together in our mother's bellies, God was there knowing us and working in us and living in us. As the most recently stitched together person, young man, you'll teach us about that someday, I bet. Behind those very wise blue eyes. So the point that I'm making is that this scripture teaches us that God loves us because of who we are, not despite who we are. God loves the feelings that you have. God loves the dreams that you have. God loves that you are sometimes confused. Boy, I know I'm sometimes confused. And God loves us when we're confused, when we're certain, when we're happy, when we're sad. We're that closely connected. God is in us and around us, and we are in God and around God. And I think that's kind of what that scripture was saying this morning, that our relationship with God is a because relationship, not a despite relationship. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we are because you are. We live in you and you in us, and we are grateful for the close connection that we feel with you moment by moment. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving us each other to share in these moments, and thank you for making each of us wonderful and special and blessed. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I was listening to Michael's talk with the children, I was scrambling in my own mind to come up with another sermon because he preached it right there in 5 minutes, which usually takes me 20, right? Thanks for reading that, Jeanette, so well. I always appreciate scriptures read well, and I appreciate that. This is one of my favorite psalms. I keep saying, you know, this or that text is my favorite. I have so many favorites, I guess. Psalm 139 is a text that I often use at funeral services because it talks about we can't go anywhere and be out of the reach of God. No matter where we go, how far we go, and it kind of goes into detail about all the different places we can go and think we can get away from God, but we're not. If this was a poem about anyone other than God, it would be a little creepy. I would feel stalked. There's a famous title of a book by a Christian author of many years ago who described God as the hound of heaven. I'm not sure how to take that. It is very comforting, it's very reassuring, and I think we all resonate at some level with those words of being reassured. We did not read the whole psalm because if you continue on in verse 19, it gets into a little bit of darker territory. It is an integral part of this psalm, but it would be another sermon. So I wanted to kind of keep things a little bit short this morning because of all that's going on here at the church. I feel very, very fortunate to be pastor here at this church. I kind of get bogged down in a lot of the details of running a church, especially when I have to unplug toilets and fix fuses and find people's keys that they lost. But after having been here for so many years and just watching the conference across the way unfold yesterday and today has been deeply gratifying to me. I've always had high hopes for this church and who we are as a church, and Michael brought our attention again to our mission statement, which I think really does summarize who we are as a people. That's who we aspire to, although we often fall short. But that's what we aspire to. We aspire to be inclusive. And so to have so many different people over there in the fellowship hall right now, strategizing on all the different ways that we can empower ourselves to make a difference in the climate, in the climate catastrophe that's unfolding before us. If you were here last night and heard the public lecture by the Rear Admiral Len Herring, it was very, very discouraging. By the time he spoke for a whole hour and just pounded us with all the facts. He's a marine biologist, was in the Navy. He was a scientist and a very articulate, very smart man. A long list of credentials. He was the right person, I think, to have here last night for the kind of the keynote. So I was sitting up there with Jarlene, kind of as it was going on, my head was getting lower and lower. And I told Jarlene up there, I said, "Wow, man, I'm really depressed." And she said, "Well, what did you expect?" I thought, "Well, yeah, really, what did I expect? I mean..." Go, Jarlene. I mean, you know, it's thank you, Jarlene, for kind of bringing me back to reality. But just the irony, and maybe just the sort of the juxtaposition of what we normally do in here, worshiping God, and then having that going on over right now in the fellowship hall, trying to make a difference in the world, is just so encouraging to me. If we relied on the 24-hour news cycle to get all of our news, and if we thought that all the things that are happening in Washington, D.C. are defining our lives, we would have reason for discouragement. But there are so many people in the world who do not get noticed, who are doing very, very powerful things, carrying on very important work. My hope is not in Washington, D.C. It's not with the military. It's not with our economy. My hope is in people like us, people like those across the way in our fellowship hall, people like them all over the world who are every day working against overwhelming odds to make a difference in the world. We want to have a future for our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. That's what we want. And we are so dependent on fossil fuel, and the powers that be are so powerful that it can be discouraging, and we can give up hope, I think, if we listen only to that part of the news that's going on in the world. There's so much else that's going on in the world. One of the things that we often point out is that one thing that goes on in the world that really goes unnoticed, but yet is at the center of things. And if you go through many of the stories in the Old Testament, the main character of many of those stories is not on the stage. That main character being Yahweh. I was fortunate to be invited to be with the Rebecca Circle this past Thursday. We either watched The Red Tent as a movie, or we read the book The Red Tent, which came out in 1997. We had a great discussion about the stories that were involved in that story in particular. And one of the things that kind of caught my eye is that God was not mentioned very often in the story of the Red Tent, but God did not need to be mentioned very often, because it was obvious that when it came right down to those crucial little movements in the storyline that changed everything, God was there in a kind of a weird way. And it usually had to do with when somebody was at the end of their ropes, that they were at the point of giving up hope or had already given up hope, and then God creates something new. And that's always out of our hands. And that's probably one of the things that I want to, the main point today is that weird kind of presence in our lives that cannot be named, cannot be described, that is the source of all human good. I call it creative transformation. Other people call it God. We can call it God for lack of a better term. But that power is always at work in life. And, of course, this psalm expresses that so well, that power of creative transformation is with us every step of the way. And even in our times of hopelessness, and, of course, that's why it works so well at a funeral service, because things do feel like death has the final say in things, and we can become very hopeless at that point. And so here we have this great psalm. And one of the things that it tells us is that ultimately the world is relational. This is a psalm about me and God. It's individual, it's I and thou. Martin Buber, a famous Jewish scholar, wrote a book called I and Thou. And I recommend that book if you ever come across it. It's a small little book. I like it. I like it because I can't use it as a doorstop, which I use many theological books for. The idea that the world is primarily relational, ultimate reality is primarily relational, and if you just look at your own lives, I mean, who would you be without everybody else in your life? You wouldn't even be here. You would be, I don't know, you wouldn't be here. None of us would be here. I thought about my mother as I was reading through this psalm this morning. It begins with the word, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." And this idea of being known by God is something that we've talked about here before. And of course, my mom had all the stories about me. She had all the memories about me. You know, she gave birth to me and changed my diapers and, you know, fed me food, solid food for the first time and helped me, you know, walk and talk. And, you know, she was there the whole time. And to be profoundly known by somebody else is life. It's life. You think about your best friends, and they're the ones who know you the best and still love you, who still want to be around you. So this idea that God knows us so deeply and is with us every step of the way, I think is quite profound. And I think this psalm could be used at times when we get discouraged and hopeless. That's why it's so useful to me personally. You know, even when I read it at a funeral, I apply it to myself in the same way that I apply it to other people as well. One of the things, though, that is kind of the flip side of this coin, I think it's the biggest problem we have, and this psalm kind of gets at it, is that we can shut God out. And I want to talk about the problem of evasion as one of the biggest problems that we have in life, and that is evading the presence of God in our lives. And if we name creative transformation God, and if creative transformation is at the center of our lives, and that's where all human good comes from, everything we see and experience is created good. We tend to worship created good when the Bible is asking us to worship creative good, where it all comes from. We can't really control it. We can hardly name it, as I mentioned before. But if we can control it, then we would bottle it and sell it, right? And then it would turn into another commodity. It is what produces good. It's what produces all that we experience as good in the world. And we tend to block that in our lives in so many ways, and we tend to evade it. We tend not to think about it. We live in a culture that provides 10,000 ways of avoiding our true selves, our true connection, our ultimate connection to this creative source in our lives. And it diverts us. It makes us worried about so many things. It makes us afraid of so many things. We get entertained in so many different ways. We don't have to think about the difficulties of life. I wanted to mention Kim for just a minute, if you don't mind, Kim. Nothing embarrassing. Kim and I used to have coffee, once a week or something like that. Yeah, I miss that too. It was about, 4 or 5 years ago? And she had a lot of questions in her mind. And so we would meet and we'd talk about these things. We'd talk about the Bible and God and theology. And back then you were just had kind of a new mind, inquiring mind. And then I look at you now, and wow, all the transformations you have gone through. You got married, which I was there. You got pregnant, which I was not there. You had a baby, and here you are, a mother, a wife, and just a short matter of time. Now, that has forced you to think about life in different ways. I'm just using you as an example. We all go through those kinds of things, but you've done it so compactly recently that I think you're a good example of actually giving birth because of this creative source of human good. And now that you have this child, would you trade that child for anything in this life? Never. Don't get between Kim and her little baby. But where does it all come from? I mean, it all came from the source of life. It came from the source of all good. And we have so many different ways of blocking that. And right now, over the way, people are trying to figure out ways how to unblock all the log jams that are put in front of us and trying to make a good difference in the world. So they're over there trying to figure out how not to polarize, how not to be partisan, how not to be red or blue, how not to put people in a corner where they're right or wrong, or you have to agree or disagree. Their message is, listen, we're all in this together. Let's figure out a way to deal with this together. Now, if you're having a problem with this, well, then let's work on that. You know, here's an avenue we can get together. Here's where we can make some progress. And so already they're over there trying to figure out how to get around all of those evasions that are inherent in our political system, in our economic system, in our social structures. We are up against not only just climate change, but we are up against a whole system of life that has created it. Now, how do you change that? I mean, I had to drive my car here this morning. I had to use fossil fuels. We're using fossil fuels to light our lights and to heat our... We're all in it. We're all in it. And so I think that this psalm is so important to us because we really do need to be open to this presence of God in our lives and struggle with it. You know, on one level, it's comforting. On another level is that no matter how much you evade God, God is going to be right at on your heels. God is going to make you struggle. If you stop and turn around and face God, God is going to make you struggle with your life. God is going to make you go deeper into your life, because that's where transformation is. Transformation is not in all the evasive actions that we take in our lives. Creative transformation involves stopping, turning around, and looking at God. Just like what Mary said, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." That's what Samuel said when he was called third time by God to the altar. He said, "Here I am. Here I am. I'm not running anymore." Folks across the way, not all of them are Christian. We've got atheists there, agnostics, we've got Jews, we've got Protestant Catholics, we've got everybody you can possibly name over there. They're all working in the same way with the same power. They just call it by different names. They're over there trying to stop in their lives and turn around and face that creative source in life, figuring out how to use it to create good rather than to create darkness and evil. We are known by God. God knows us through and through. God is pursuing us. God wants us to stop and turn around and have a relationship with that source of everything good in our lives. I know it's kind of vague, kind of abstract. I wish I could point to this source of all good things. I can't point to it because it's nowhere that could be pointed at. We have a name for it, but the arrow just points out. Well, where is this creative force? Well, it's in me, but it's between us too. It's a relational thing. We have a relationship with ourselves. We have a relationship with those around us. We have a relationship to everything else, and we also have a relationship to this source of creative good. It's all relational. And if we stop and turn around and present ourselves . Nobody could stop us then. Nobody.
Will you join me in prayer? God, who is in all things, we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made, and you know us each intimately. You move in and through us just as we have our existence in you, an essential combining of experience and context, immediate and eternal, the transient made permanent with meaning. Loving God, we know that you are with us through all things. Through celebration and worry, you are there. Through confusion and certainty, you are there. Through plenty and through scarcity, you fill our lives with the creative, transforming possibilities that ground us and that call us to an active loving of our planet and all that lives here. Holy One, we turn and face you. Love, compassion, respect, transforming creativity, you are the eternal field within which all that is moves and exists and is held in place. You are stable and powerful and timeless, yet intimate and gracious. We feel you within us just as we recognize you in our loving bonds to one another. The touch of a loved one's hand, the laughter of our children, the inspiration of our dear brothers and sisters in this very room. United in your grounding of our collective lives, we pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.